Well, good morning, everybody. It's October 13th, Sunday, and it's a beautiful day in Colorado. The leaves are starting to change on the trees. It's supposed to be about 67, 68 today, so we're going to go out after fellowship. We're going to go harvest some vegetables from our garden, go dig in the dirt. And it's a wonderful time to be alive. So let's take our Bibles. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1. So, and we're going to start in, I don't know, either verse 1 or verse 3. Let me figure it out when I get there. So you got, what's it, 1 Peter and Repeater? Is that how it goes? Actually, it was a big deal, you know, like 100 years ago when they first started making repeating rifles, I guess. Because you know, they used to be the old ones. You'd have to put it'd take you like a minute to load it, and you only had one shot. But
the other guys had the same thing.
Yeah, that's true. And if you weren't careful, you could shoot your eye out, kid. Remember that movie?
Shoot your eye out.
So, 1 Peter. Get my little reading glasses here. And let's start in verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. That's a good name for a kid, Bithynia. No, probably not. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God. See, God elected us. God's voting. What's that old saying? God's voting for us. The devil's voting against us. So our vote decides that election. So it's like, I vote. I want God's stuff in my life, not the devil's stuff. Yeah. Through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience of the sprinkling of blood, grace be unto you, and peace be multiplied. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us unto a lively hope by resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And, yeah. Verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible. See, it's like we're part of God's family. And part of what we get is eternal life. But we get, on top of that eternal life, we also get an inheritance. And, you know, our daddy owns cattle on 1,000 hills, so we're going to get some good inheritance. So exactly what all that is, you know, we see through a glass darkly. We don't understand it all, but there's a day coming when he's going to shower us with rewards for what we've done in this life. Incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. This is great, but I think I wanted this stuff in, you know what, I wanted to be in 2 Peter. This is really great verses here, but this is not what I wanted to read. Sorry about that. So let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3. In verse 1 and 2, again, it's grace and peace multiplied, so on and so on. For 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, according to his, as his divine power, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. So God's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And so a lot of times, you know, you come to a quandary in life. Should I do this or should I do that? Like, you know, in our election, we have a choice. Do I want to vote for giggling Kamala, or who's got a record of never doing nothing? Or do I want to vote for Donald Trump, who has a record of doing good? And, you know, and you can make judgments based on the Word of God, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. And I remember years ago, well, one of the things in this country, we have rights. We have the right to free speech. We have the right to defend ourselves. There's certain rights. Well, as sons of God, we have rights. And every promise in the Bible is one of our rights. And so there's, like, you know, like we talk about in the Constitution, we got the 10 amendments, 10 Bill of Rights. Well, in the Bible, you've got close to 1,000 promises. There's over 900. And every one of those is your right as a son of God to have come to pass in your life. That by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. This world is corrupt. And it's like, Diane and I are always trying to pursue good health, and we're always trying to eat good, and it's harder and harder to eat good food now. It's like some of the food that they say is organic isn't really organic anymore. And so the world's corruption, and it's the corruption through lust. I'm going to show you in a little bit. Well, we've seen that verse in Timothy where it talks about the love of money is the root of all evil. And people think, well, if we make this food, instead of using these good ingredients, we put this stuff in it, then we can make more money. Or sometimes they do it evil on purpose. And it's corruption is in the world through lust. And lust is an over-desire. I used to have these two little dogs, and they loved to play with tennis balls, and they just thought it was just, they'd get real excited about the tennis ball, and so we'd throw the tennis balls around, and the one would do this, it's two arms, it'd hold a tennis ball in this front leg and this front leg and have another one in its mouth, and it would try to hold all three. It can only play with one tennis ball at a time, but it was trying to hog all three so the other dog couldn't get any. And, you know, it was just, the little dog was lusting for tennis balls. You know, but the little dog didn't know any better, just being a stupid little dog like they do sometimes. And he just wanted that, and it's like, and that's, the world will tell you, you know, you... But see, God will give us what we need. He doesn't, you know, we don't need to follow after the world's lusts. Verse 5, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Charity is the love of God. For if these things be in you and abound, and make you that you shall neither be barren, and barren is like useless or not bearing any fruit. God wants us to have fruit in our lives, bearing nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Like I was telling you before, God's voting for us. God elected us. God chose us. He called everybody. Many, like it says in the Bible, many are called, but few are chosen. Basically, those that are chosen are those that respond to the calling. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fail. So let's go to Proverbs.
Never fall.
Never fall. Thank you. Thank you. Got to read what's written. That's why I wear these glasses, so I can see these tiny little words. I remember I think I was 50 years old or something before I got my first pair of glasses. But
that's impressive.
But I still need them.
Are we going to Proverbs? Did you say?
I'm Proverbs chapter 6, yes.
Proverbs 6.
Job, Psalms, Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 6, and we'll start in verse 16. And I'm going to have a little bit of water here. These six things doth the Lord hate. Wait a minute, I thought God was love and he didn't hate anything. Well, it says that these are six things that the Lord hates. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief or evil, false witnesses that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. You know, most of our politicians on both sides of the aisle sort of have one or more of these attributes. You see these people, they have the proud look on their campaign poster. They'll have their nose up in the air. Like, oh, I'm so good. And they think they're better. And they really do. They think they're so wise because they've been studying Marx, and they've been studying communism, and they've been reading Mao Zedong's book, and they know socialism and all these evil things. And they pass these laws that are evil, and. But if you see a politician that exhibits these things, don't vote for them. And there are so many of them are liars. Mm-hmm. And you look in the Old Testament, and we're going to go to Daniel chapter 3, by the way.
We're not going to read Proverbs.
I just read it.
Oh, okay.
Daniel chapter 3. This is the good old record of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But before I delve into this, let me remind you of the kings. First of all, in the Old Testament, Israel was ruled by judges. And that was the godly thing, that the prophet would install a judge, and a judge would be in charge of an area, and when people had a dispute or something was wrong, the judge would make a judgment. And the Israelites weren't happy with that. They looked at their neighbors, and their neighbors had kings, Oh, we want a king. And so the prophet said, you know, this king thing, these guys are not good. They'll do this, they'll do this, they'll do this. And he listed all the evil things they do. And he said, oh, that's our, no, we want a king. And so their first king was Saul. And Saul blatantly disobeyed God. And you go on and on. They had kings like Ahab. And Ahab married Jezebel. And quite often what they would do to make alliances with other countries, the other evil country would send... See, Jezebel wasn't an Israelite. Jezebel was sent from another pagan country and married King Ahab. And Jezebel was even more evil than Ahab. Sort of like Bill and Hillary Clinton, you know. That Hillary was even more evil than Bill Clinton. And I'm seeing now where Hillary is still pushing. Hillary wants to get rid of our First Amendment. This free speech thing that her and John Kerry and these other Democrats, they're going on. We got to rein in this free speech. And they're calling it disinformation.
Or misinformation.
No, they call it disinformation because the different misinformation is if I say, oh, I think I have a Chevy in my garage. Oh, wait a minute, it's a Ford. Never mind. But disinformation is if I intentionally say, no, there's a Toyota out there and I know it's not a Toyota. And it's basically another word for a lie. But you know what? We have free speech. We have the right to say what we want to say, and maybe we'll misspeak, and maybe everything we say isn't true, but we have the right, and it's our right. The government doesn't have the right to tell us what we can say and what we can't say. So I can come out and say, you know, that such and such a politician is not really a Democrat or a Republican. They're basically a communist. I come out and say that. I can say, you know, most of our presidents the last 30 years have been members of crime families. The Bushes, the Clintons, the Obamas, the Bidens, those are all crime families. There's more money going into politics. They used to be crime families would run, like Al Capone ran Chicago. Well, they found there's instead of being, you know, running guns and booze and drugs and... They found it's a lot more profitable to go into politics. So anyway, that you look at the history, and Israel was a nation set up of God's people, and out of God's people, they pick one of them, make a king. And probably 75-85% of their kings were evil. And even the good kings did bad stuff, because it was a bad system. So, now... We're going to Daniel chapter 3. And then what happened is sometimes the Israelites themselves, you notice this today when I prayed that God would turn the hearts of the American people back to the one true God. Because if we, as a nation, turn against the one true God, then our nation will be sold into slavery, whether we vote for a Democrat, Republican, or whatever. We're going down the tubes if we don't follow the one true God. Because what's that verse say? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And like Diane was saying before, fellowship. The reason why we had a godly revolution in the 1700s, 1770s, 1776, and so on, is because first the people in the United States turned back to the one true God, and then they set up a constitution and a government that was based on that. So, all right, all that is background to where we're at now. So, chapter 3 of Daniel, it says here, Nebuchadnezzar, he put up an image. They basically put up an image, and he's like, oh, I'm this great king, and I'm going to make a golden image of myself, and everybody has to worship. You know what? We don't worship our political leaders. We don't worship our religious leaders. We worship the one true God. We can't worship those other things. Sometimes, you know, there's, like, I've had some good religious leaders in my life that taught me, that were good mentors to me and taught me great things. We've had some good political leaders and some bad ones, but we don't worship them. But he wanted them in verse 1 to worship, you know, this big statue he put up. And when they played the music, I love this, what is this? In verse 7, therefore at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut. I want to get a sackbut. You know, I've got a nice collection of musical instruments, but I don't have a freaking sackbut.
I don't know.
And I don't have a psaltery. But I, you know, I actually looked it up and found out what they were, and I forgot. Now, it was years ago. But anyway, they had all that music. When the music would play, everybody had to bow down and worship. Well, they had Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were from Israel, and they knew there was only one God, and they couldn't worship this golden image as like it was a god. And so somebody told on them. It's like, remember we had that manufactured pandemic a few years ago, and they had everybody wearing face diapers. And well, the mask, you know what the mask was designed for? It was designed for in a hospital, they would wear it because there's a bacteria called Staphylococcus, and so when they wouldn't exhale Staphylococcus in an open wound when they're operating on the patient. And the mask will stop bacteria. If you want a, mask that'll stop virus, you remember that movie Outbreak where they're wearing those hazmat suits and the plexiglass, yeah. And they got that'll stop a virus. The mask will stop a bacteria. So, but anyway, remember, anyway, I digress. So when they had people that would tattletale on other people that, oh, so-and-so is not wearing a mask. In fact, our that chicken shit governor we have, Governor Polis, there was there's an oil change place that I used to go to, and the guy that ran the oil change place was sponsoring one of the recall movements against Polis, and unfortunately it was unsuccessful. Well, Polis sent somebody around there, and they were spying on their employees, and one of the employees took their mask off when they were working, and they got fined like $20,000.
And it went, for heaven's sakes.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. And so that's our chicken shit governor. That's why we don't want to vote for these people like this.
He also used to call us selfish bastards.
Yeah.
Selfish bastards.
Yeah. That's chicken shit Polis. And you know what Polis does? He's just a puppet. What he does all day long, he goes home, he plays video games, and he does nothing until they tell him to do something. And
he's running for president.
Yeah. So anyway, a lot of our politicians are, we have puppets and we have puppet masters. Like Joe Biden is a puppet. Kamala Harris is a puppet. These people, they're just doing what they're told. And a lot of people like to make fun of AOC, Alexandria something. And, you know, she is kind of a dingbat, but she, how she got into politics, she answered a casting call. They're actors. They're paid actors.
Wow.
And, but this king here, Nebuchadnezzar, we all know the story. You know, and then finally what they did is they threw him in the hot, fiery furnace. The furnace was so hot that it burned up the guys that threw him in the furnace. And then they looked in the furnace and they saw three guys walking around, and a fourth guy was an angel of the Lord. And they go, oh my God, and they brought him out, and the king changed his whole, verse 29. Therefore I make a decree that every people and nation and language which speak anything amiss of the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut into pieces, and their house will be made a pile of manure. That's what dunghill is.
Yeah.
Pile of shit. Yeah, I said it in my teaching. We made a pile of shit in their houses, and they, and because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. And the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. And see, they were told, if you bow, if you don't bow, you'll burn. But they adopted the attitude, well, if we do bow, we will burn. And if we don't bow, God will take care of us. And that's really where we're at in this time. And fortunately, we don't have an evil king. We have an evil president, an evil congressman, and evil senators. And fortunately, we still have a vote. They're trying to cheat the vote and make it, and trying to manipulate the vote, but we still have a vote. And I still have the right to free speech. I can, in my own house and in this fellowship, I can speak what I want. And we still have the right that we can go down to the gun store and we can buy a little pistol and we can protect our house. And we still have these rights, and we need to maintain these rights, and we need to stand for them, because you don't just keep it by doing nothing. Some, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't get delivered by just going with the flow and bowing down. They stood up and they fought and they won. And we can stand up and we can fight and we can win. Let's go win. One. I used to be able to talk.
Past tense, we already won.
Yeah, that's true. Let's go to 1 Timothy. So, there we go. 2 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2. I exhort, therefore, chapter 2, verse 1. Okay. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, and intercessions, and giving the thanks be made for all men. We need to pray for everybody. We pray, Diane and I, we pray daily, and we pray for our country, and we pray for a lot of people. And now some of the people we pray for may not even be Christians. We pray for all you guys that come into our fellowship. We pray for you. Okay. For, and then, verse 2, for kings. Well, wait a minute. All these kings are nasty. Even the Israelite kings and the unbeliever kings, they're even worse. Oh my God, they're just, you know, a lot of these kings, they get into power by killing their brothers and sisters who should have had the throne instead of them. I mean, you go on and on. And for all that are in authority. Now, I can finish reading this, then I'll comment, I guess. That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Now, quite often we're governed by crooked, evil people that are puppets, and they lust for evil, and they're devising. What was that back in Proverbs? I'm going to flip back there and read that again. I should have wrote it down. Psalms, Proverbs. It was 6, that's what it was. It was 6. Quite often the people we're governed by have a proud look. They have a lying tongue. They have hands that shed innocent blood. They have a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Feet swift and running to mischief. A false witness, and they speak lies, and they sow discord among the brethren. That's really describes a lot of our political leaders. So why in all the name of God and all that's good would we pray for them? Well, we pray. Well, remember, the Apostle Paul was a murderer. He was killing Christians. So somebody must have prayed for him. And you know what? God turned his heart. He became an apostle. And we pray that also that the evil that these people are doing doesn't happen. We pray that if they don't change their heart, that they can be removed and replaced with somebody better. And the power of prayer is great. And see, God hasn't called us to to go get our guns and go to the governor's mansion or go to the White House and kill all the evil people. Even though that's probably what they deserve, God hasn't called us to do that. That's not our ministry on this earth. We don't have the ministry of shoot the bad guys. We have a ministry of reconciliation. We reconcile people back to God. That doesn't mean I'm anti-gun. I still think it's a good idea that you got a gun to defend yourself. Because if right now somebody came into my house and said they were going to kill us all, I think I'd shoot him first. And then ask questions later. Yeah, you know, and better him than me. But we don't take the offensive. When we take the offensive, we take the offensive by praying. The sword of the Spirit is the offensive weapon. Remember Ephesians 6 talks about the armor of God, all the defensive weapons. Our sword of the Spirit is praying. We pray to stop the evil. It's also speaking the word, yes. For verse 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will to have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. What, remember that thing in Peter? How all that thing's about the knowledge of truth, you know, add to your this and that virtue and patience and so forth. That's all the stuff you get with the knowledge of the truth. So here, same book, Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, it's basically what we're living in now, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits, is the text. There's devil spirits in this world, and their whole job is to deceive, tell lies. And that's what they do. That's what they're all about. Speaking lies in doctrines of devils. Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Forbidding to marry. Now, what did that sound like? Could it be the Church of Rome? The Roman Catholics, they won't let their priests and nuns marry. Commanding to abstain from meats. Oh yeah, you can't eat meat on Friday. You know, you'll go to hell for that. Well, you won't. Which God hath... And then somehow, fish is not meat. I mean, what the hell? Have you ever had fish? I've had fish. Yeah. Fish is meat. Especially if you ever have shark or swordfish. It tastes kind of like chicken or beef or something. It's not even very fishy. It's meat. Well, it's certainly, those aren't vegetables swimming around in the ocean.
Maybe they're vegetarian.
Cows are vegetarian.
Which God hath created and... to be received with thanksgiving to them which believe and know the truth, so on. So, yeah, and basically God, the devil's always trying to mess stuff up. He wants to mess up our government, he wants to mess up our religion, he wants to mess up too many things here. So let's go to Mark chapter 7. Here's Jesus confronting some of those guys. You know, if you look throughout the Gospels, probably about 85 to 95% of all the religious leaders were hardcore set against Jesus in the movement of God's word, and basically they hated God and hated his son. So why would we think it's any different today? Mm-hmm. So Mark chapter 7, let's start in verse 9. You know, there's one verse somewhere here where Jesus saw there was a widow woman. And she was one of their feasts, and she went to cast into the collection. She had like one little coin. It was basically equivalent of like somebody putting a penny in the collection. And Jesus said she gave more than all those other people. And the disciples said, well, she only put in a penny. How can that be more? Well, because of her heart and because of how much she had. And so you always, you know, we always have to give, no matter what. The devil will want to talk you out of giving. Giving is a godly thing. And so let's go to chapter 7. Oh, I mean chapter 9. Chapter 7. Yeah, Diane and I, we run this little ministry. We spend more money than we make. We're never going to turn a prop. We're never even going to break even on this. And we don't care. You know, like, Vince sent me this nice gift, that nice Bible. That's nice. But we spend more money than we're going to make, and that's just the way it is. You see, quite often the Apostle Paul had to work a job because he didn't make enough money off his ministry where he had to do that. And then you see you got these big TV preachers, and they're making millions, multi-millionaires. And how they do it? Well, they're teaching those, that what we were just over in Timothy, where they were speaking lies with hypocrisy, doctrines of devils. They were teaching, they basically line up with Roman Catholic doctrine. They teach that God is a Trinity. We know there's one God. That's one of the things I like about this book by Taylor Overby. He, in the last thing where he talks about the one God, it's an amazing section on how there's one God and it's not three. It's really, really well done. And I really want to get into that and read it. So anyway, The Unity of the Spirit. You can get it on Amazon. Just go Amazon and search either Taylor Overby or The Unity of the Spirit. It's just a really, really well done book.
How much is it?
Right.
Oh, I don't remember what it cost. I don't know.
You have to look it up.
I don't remember. I bought two of them, but I don't remember what I spent. Everything, nothing's cheap anymore because of runaway inflation. That's another thing is when your government, every time, remember what during COVID, they'd send us a
We'll look it up later.
They'd send us $1,000 or $600, and then next thing you know, everything costs twice as much. You know, when the government's giving away money, you pay for it with inflation. It is always that way. So anyway, I am supposed to be reading Mark chapter 7, verse 9, and I'm... Okay, here we go. Let's go back a couple verses here. Verse 6, and he said unto them, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, hypocrites, it is written, for this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines commandments of men, laying aside... Do I need to go back even farther? No, I think I'll just stay where I'm at. Laying aside... what verse?
Eight.
Laying aside commandment of God, ye hold tradition of men, washing of hand, washing of pots and cups and other such things ye do. And he said, verse 9, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. Verse 10, for Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, whosoever curseth the father or mother, let him die the death. But ye said, here it is, verse 11, but ye say, if a man shall say unto his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever you might be profited by me, he shall be free. And I read that verse years ago, and I go, what the heck does that mean? That makes absolutely no sense. What's a Corban? What's this stuff? Well, okay, got to be explained here. The Pharisees, they were getting rich off this stuff. And see, Moses in the Old Testament commanded that, you know, when we're little, our parents take care of us. You know, my parents changed my diapers. They fed me. I was not equipped. I couldn't even wipe my own butt. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know how to get food. They gave me a warm bed, put a roof over my head. They took care of me. And then later in life, we take care of our parents. That back then, they didn't have Social Security. So what it was is the family would take care of the family. But the Pharisees were saying, well, that money you were going to give to your parents, it's Corban, it's a gift. And you say, if you give it to the temple, you're free of your responsibility of having to take care of your parents. See how corrupt and evil that is?
Wow.
Yeah. I learned this from John Schroer. God bless that man. He was a great mentor of mine, and he's passed away, and you know, God rest his soul, but he was, taught me some great truths from the Bible, and he taught me this.
Don't give to your neighbor. Give to the charity.
Yeah, I remember.
Don't give to the people of North Carolina. Give to FEMA.
I remember when I first came to Denver, I worked for this big engineering company, and we had an earthquake in Haiti. And they were all getting this, all to collect money for this charity that would send money to help the poor Haitians. Well, part of the reasons why Haiti had a terrible earthquake and terrible poverty is because they've been enslaved with witchcraft for generation after generation after generation. The Dominican Republic on the same island is prosperous, and they don't have the same problems because they worship God and they don't worship voodoo. Well, anyway, so all these people were giving money to this, and I didn't know what was going on, but I just felt that charity was wrong. I had no proof, no anything other than God was just saying, don't give the money to that charity. Well, it turns out that charity sent millions over there. The people in the charity got rich. The politicians in Haiti got rich. They, with these millions, they built 6 houses. And a lot of these orphans in Haiti, these poor little black kids, they trafficked them. They got sexually trafficked to where they would be raped, sodomized, and used as sex slaves. And then when they're tired of them as sex slaves, they would murder them. And they would drink the blood filled with the adrenaline. They call it adrenochrome. And it's what the sick, perverted, evil people in this world have been doing this for thousands of years. And that's how they live longer and they stay healthier. They drink the adrenochrome. And so that's what's going on. And so when you're giving money, you're better off giving to somebody that needs it. And not give it to a charity. Because you don't know if that charity is good or bad. Maybe it's good, maybe it's not good. I just automatically assume that it may be bad, and I may not want to give money to it.
Even if they're good, only a percentage goes to actually help people. The rest are administrative costs at best. And some of the charity CEOs are multimillionaires.
What was it? Trump family had a charity where it was like 99.9% of the money actually went to the people, and they forced him to shut it down when he ran for president. But the Clinton charity was able to stay open, where like 5% of the money goes to help people.
The Clinton charity is the one that was involved in Haiti.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
So anyway, verse 12, and ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother. You know, they wouldn't allow him to take care of his family. Making the word of God have of none effect through your tradition. See, their tradition was they were lying in their pockets. They had 12 tribes, and one of the tribes was supposed to be the priests. The Levite tribe was supposed to be the priests, and they weren't supposed to work. The other 11 tribes were supposed to take care of them. Well, by the time Jesus Christ came along, a couple thousand years after Levi and all the, and Israel and those people were dead, they had corrupted it to where they were making money off of this. All right. Last verse of scripture, 1 Timothy chapter 6. I alluded to this one before. Chapter 6, verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil. And it's not the actual money itself. Money is power. People want power. They want people to bow down before them, and they want to control other people. They want to shut down our freedom of speech. They want to take away our right to defend ourselves. They want to starve us to death. Basically, you see where the UN has documents. They think the world is overpopulated, and they think they need to get rid of 80% of us because we're just eaters.
Useless eaters. They call us.
They want us to be dead, and they want to live, and they want to turn like most of the world into national parks and kill most of the people and keep a few of us around to be servants. So those, you know, that like in the Dark Ages where they had lords and serfs. But
I think it's worse than 80%. I think they want to. It's 90.
Whatever. The percentage doesn't matter. It's just that they have evil. They devise evil. They have evil imaginations. Who would think of this sort of thing? Not a godly person. So what? I'm going to go back to 2 Peter. I can't believe I told you 1 Peter instead of 2 Peter.
Second
Peter, chapter 1. According as his divine power.
That's not right.
2 Peter, chapter 1, second. Verse 3.
Yep.
According as his divine power has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. See, God's given us...
Where? I don't know where you are.
Chapter 1, verse 3.
Mm-hmm. Okay, sorry.
He's given us everything we need to know to make decisions. He's given us what we need to know in life. And it's all right here in the Bible. And it's real simple. And it's not that the priests can't marry, and it's not that you can't have fish on Friday, or you can't have fish on Tuesday, or whatever. I guess they backtracked that one, or whatever. And you know, you're a good Catholic, you do everything right, and if you happen to die and there isn't a priest right there to give you your last rites, you're still going to hell. And then your poor relatives, they have to pray to pay the priests to pray you out of purgatory into heaven. Well, first of all, there is no purgatory. It's not in the Bible. You know, it's just they go on and on. They enslave people. They teach for doctrines, traditions of men. But if we, you know, we go to the truth, and then God gives us everything, all things we need to know that pertain unto life and godliness. So, yeah, I get political. I really think ministers should get political. And I'll rain on the Democrats, the Republicans, the bureaucrats, all of them. There's a few good ones out there, and you know, and if you got you need to look at your ballot. You need to you and God talk it over and who you're going to vote for.
And it's not really just a who you vote for, if I may interject. It's policies. What are the policies? It doesn't matter what face is on them or what, if it's R or D or I or whatever. What are their policies? What policies align with the Word of God? What policies are antithetical to the Word of God? And it becomes very clear for you then, you know, what policies are promoting God, family, national success? What policies are promoting anti-God, anti-freedom, anti-freedom of speech? So look at those, and it becomes very, very clear to you which person or which, you know, what policies are being promoted. And that's why you can't look at D or R. You have to look at what is the policy. And are they lying? Or is there proof that has been done before? And I think in this election, it's very clear. because we know the records of both parties right now. We've seen Trump in action, and we know what happened the 4 years he was president. We had prosperity. We had freedom to worship God the way we wanted. You know, that's the freedom. We're not trying to vote for someone who aligns perfectly with our idea of our relationship with God, but the policy that allows us the freedom to be able to worship God according to the dictates of our heart. And then we also can see what Kamala has done with Joe Biden. What are those policies? It's very clear. And, you know, and if you can't see that, you need to go to God and ask Him to show you clearly, you know, what the difference is.
Anyway,
yep.
That's what I had to share today. So, Father, thank you for our freedoms. And, Father, protect our freedoms. Protect the Constitution. Give us a quiet and peaceable life, regardless of whoever is in office. And Father, we have leaders with evil schemes, I command that those schemes are not realized. And Father, that if we are faced with a situation where they ask us to bow down, figuratively, obviously literally it won't happen, but figuratively, if they ask us to bow down to the golden statues that they erect, that we have the intestinal fortitude to resist. And Father, just preserve our rights, preserve our freedoms, preserve our health, and just always be with us in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.